If you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 26. Proverbs, chapter number 26. A few weeks ago, we began a small little series on four things that the enemy uses to deceive God's children. The first one was delay. Because things become delayed in our lives, we begin to mistrust, or we begin to feel like God is not going to be faithful to His promise because it hasn't happened in the time frame or in the way that we wanted it to happen. And sometimes we wait, and sometimes we wait for years. Sometimes the promises of God just don't happen like that. Sometimes it takes time, because in His timing, all things are made beautiful. In His timing, everything is perfect. To everything, there is a time. To everything, there is a season. To everything, there is a purpose. Amen? Do you believe that today? I have become more convinced of that in my life than I've ever been, that God has perfect timing. And if we can learn to walk in that perfect timing. So don't let delay. Don't let delay get you all befuddled and cause you to mistrust or doubt God. The second one was deceit. And we've kind of begun to linger here just a little bit because it's such a large topic. There's so much to say. As a matter of fact, I could have probably talked about each one of these for months on end, to be honest with you. But deceit, I just felt that we needed to settle in there just a little bit longer because of how rampant deceit is in our world today. So Proverbs 26 verse 24, chapter 26 verse 24 through 26. Whosoever hates, say hates. Whosoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit. One who hates disguises himself, the Bible says, and harbors deceit in his heart. In other words, hides, keeps deceit in his heart. One who disguises himself with his lips. In other words, we say one thing, but we do another. We say one thing, but we believe another. And I'm sure we've all been guilty at one point or another saying, oh yeah, I agree with that, when we didn't agree with it. Saying we wanted to be a part of something even though we didn't want to be a part of it. Saying we trusted in something even when we didn't trust in it. Or just lying or just deceiving to get our own way, to get what we want. Whosoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. And when he speaks graciously, believe him not, the Bible says. Believe that one not, that individual who harbors deceit in their life, in their heart. The Bible says, don't believe that one. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed. His wickedness will be exposed. Say his wickedness will be exposed. Wickedness will be exposed. I want to share with you some things this morning that I think the church has fallen into a trap of deceit in, believing the lie of the enemy that we don't have to do what God says to do. Largely in our world today, many have rejected the principles and concepts of God's law. Many within the church today live with a reckless abandonment, as if we can say, we can do, we can go, we can act like whatever we want to do. And because we've not faced a heavenly punishment because of that, because God has not come down with wrath and killed us or burned us up or done something like that, we feel as if we've gotten away with it. And because we've gotten away with it, we can just continue to do it. But I would decree and declare to you today, listen, every eye looking at me this morning, you have not gotten away with it. You don't get away. It is by His mercy and His grace that you still have breath in your lungs today. It is by His grace and His mercy. God would that none would perish. There's one thing that you and I can say about people who are deceived. There's one thing that we can say about people who are deceived. They don't know that they are deceived. And if you try to tell them that they are deceived, they won't believe it because they don't know they're deceived. Did you ever try to tell somebody that they were deceived and they didn't want to believe you? Why? Because they didn't know they were deceived. They believed the lie. And they believed the lie in spite of everything else. And because they don't know the truth, they've not been set free. See, there's a lot of people who have accepted Jesus. There's a lot of people who have prayed a prayer of salvation, but there's a lot of people that are not walking in the liberation that we sang about this morning of being set free from deceit and deception and fear and turmoil and strife and confusion in their lives. Although they've prayed a prayer and they've asked God to forgive them, but they continue to walk in an imbalance. In an imbalance, believing that they can do whatever it is that they want to do. Being deceived means to be misled. Being deceived means to be misled. You may want to write this down. Misled by false appearances or statements. To be deceived means to be misled by a false appearance. How many of you have ever been misled by a false appearance? Everything on the outside looked good. Everything on the outside sounded good. They made statements that seemed right. But deception was harbored and hidden down deep within that individual. To be deceived means to be misled by a false appearance or statement of someone. To be deluded into believing in something that is not true. To be deluded into believing something that is not true. Deceit. It'll cause you to believe untruths. I want to go down through a number of scripture this morning that we cannot be deceived of any longer. We cannot be deceived of these verses any longer. In the sense of hearing them and not acting on them. Hearing them, but not practicing them. All right? So I'm going to go down through a number of verses this morning with you that I believe as the body of Christ, we can no longer be deceived in doing these, in not doing these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, say holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation, which means your lifestyle. Be ye holy in all manner of your conversation. Now, I know that gets people right there because I've heard for years people say, well, God's holy and only God can be holy. No, you can dedicate yourselves to a holy lifestyle. You can dedicate yourself to following the direction of God in God's word. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be without mistake. It doesn't mean that there are going to be times that you're going to do something or say something that you shouldn't have done. But that's not the point. We're talking about a person's lifestyle, one whose lifestyle represents the kingdom, one whose lifestyle represents holiness. And yeah, they may have had a moment where they said something or did something that they shouldn't have done, but they go right back to God and they say, listen, I messed that up and we're going to move forward and I'm not going to do that thing any longer. But to those who continually to walk in disobedience to God's word, we cannot continually walk in disobedience to God's word. That is one of the greatest deceptions the enemy has ever placed in the heart of humanity, is to believe that you can disregard what God says and still be okay. We can't. We've got to obey God's word as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance when we were lost, when we were unlearned, before we came to the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth sets us free. But we've got to then walk in the truth. If we come to the Spirit of truth, but we do not walk in truth, we are deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. But as he which has called you is holy, God is holy. How many of you would agree with me today that God is holy? So be ye holy in all manner of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye set apart. Be ye set apart. I was part of a conversation this past week in talking of the new modern age of church that's happening today around and about us, and how pastors like myself are becoming irrelevant in today's society because we're old school, because we're old fashioned, because we're not hip, because we don't wear ripped jeans and spiked hair and flip-flops and tennis shoes on Sunday mornings, because I don't go and sit at the bar and drink with you, because I don't toke marijuana with you. I'm not relevant any longer. And at least those guys that do, they're hip and cool, and they admit that they do it. How many want to follow a beer-drinking, pot-smoking preacher? I got news for you. We are called to be holy, set apart. We are called to be different. And I'll tell you what, Karen, if that makes me uncool, then I'm uncool. And I don't care. Because God has called me to be holy. Now, my coat doesn't make me holy. My tie does not make me holy. My appearance on the outside doesn't make me holy. All these things do is show somewhat of a reverence and a respect for the calling and the office that he has called me to, a respect. Then when I stand in front of the presence of the one who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, that if I believed for a moment that his presence was going to be in this place, would I not offer him my very best? Would I offer him less than my very best if I really truly believed that he was going to stand in our presence, that he was going to dance over me this morning, Missy? Would I truly give him anything less than my very best? I heard this week, well, we like this church because, well, at least he admits he does those things. Well, I'm not going to admit that I do them because I don't. And it's just that simple. And if I'm a prude because I don't, then I'm a prude. I made a vow to God that I would stand before his people and I would speak truth to them. I'm not going to mess up my mind with things that can cloud my mind and be deceived enough to believe that I'm doing the right thing. You prayed a prayer one day of salvation, asking God to forgive you and to wash you clean. We don't hear a lot of that anymore today. It's just you can kind of do what you want, and God's gracious and God's merciful and he's kind. Yes, all those things are true. But he is a holy, righteous judge. He is just in all his ways. And when he says, thou shalt not, you shouldn't. Now, thou shalt not, then we shouldn't. We should take very seriously the direction and the commands of God because he is holy and he's called us to be holy, separate. The scripture calls to us to come out from among them and to be separate. I knew a youth pastor that one time believed that he had to immerse himself into certain sinful situations so that he could relate to the people who were lost in those sins. And I said to that individual at one time, this is many years back, this individual I knew. I said, but I choose to relate to the one who is holy. Because we've got to be able to call those ones out of darkness into the light. We don't have to saturate ourselves into the atmosphere or the spirit of darkness for us to be able to relate to. I don't relate to that. I don't relate to certain things. I just don't. Because that's not where I live. That's not the life that I've chosen to live. And you say, well, that's obtainable. No, it's not. It's not unobtainable. You ask the Lord to forgive you, and you ask the Lord to strengthen you and to keep you from temptation. And you'd be surprised when you don't put yourself in positions of temptation. Too many of God's people put themselves in positions of temptation today. They go places they shouldn't go because you know when you go there, you're going to be tempted. You would do well to stay away from that place of temptation. Put yourself in the atmosphere in the presence of God so that God, who is holy, can lead you in holiness. And you yourselves can walk in holiness. So no longer being disobedient to the way we used to be, because he's called us out of that. We're to be separated. Matthew 6:33, which you all know so very well, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. How can we believe that we can seek everything else above the kingdom of God? When God himself says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God says you are to put God first. You are to put his kingdom first. You are to put the things of God first in your life. The things of God are to be priority in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. And somehow, some way, we've deceived ourselves to believe that we can put everything under the sun in front of God and still reap the benefits, or we become discouraged, and we become disgruntled, we become angry, and we become mad because we're not experiencing the blessing of God when we're not walking in obedience to God. It doesn't work that way. Even a good parent will not reward their child for bad behavior. There are consequences. How many of you know there are consequences in life? So we are called to seek first his kingdom, to turn from wicked ways, to not surround ourselves with things that we know would cause us to act that way. Because how many of you know you can fall right back into it real quick? How many have ever fallen back into it real quick? Because you got too close to it. You get too close to it, you're liable to fall back into it real quick, because it can be a slippery slope. How many know what I'm talking about? Huh? We're supposed to seek first the things of God. And since when did that become such a negative thought? To try and be separate, to try and be different, not better, not arrogant, not prideful, not boasting, but just simply saying we're going to live differently. We're going to live a pure lifestyle. We're going to live a holy lifestyle. We're going to follow what God's word says. If God's word says it, then we're going to apply it in our life, and we're going to be better people because of it. And we're going to be people that are going to love one another and serve one another and care for one another. It's going to be different than what we see in most of the world today, because we've been called to be different. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 and through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Listen, let us hold fast to what we say we believe in. Let's not waver at every little whim or thing that happens, because God is faithful. What God has said, God will do. What God has promised, God will do. Remember the delay? The delays will come. That doesn't mean he's not faithful. It just means it wasn't the right timing. It means it wasn't right for the moment. Hold on. Wait for God. Do not become discouraged. Don't mistrust him. He's faithful. He's faithful. I don't even care how much you messed up. He's faithful. He's faithful to deliver you out of the bondages of deception. He's faithful. And even when you slide back into it, he's faithful to pull you back up out of it. He's faithful. Home, I don't know. Melinda, I cannot doubt the faithfulness of God. My mind, George, does not even go there. I don't understand. I'm just telling you today, I can't go anywhere closely to God's not faithful. My mind does not go there because I've not allowed myself to go there. Because every day of my life, I declare his faithfulness. I do not declare unfaithfulness. I do not speak unfaithful about him. I do not act like he hasn't done something in my life. I decree and declare the faithfulness of God. Yes, it may seem like he's been silent for 400 years, but he is faithful. He who has called is faithful, and he will come through. Even though it may be delayed in your minds, it's not delayed on his end. He designed and declared a perfect time and a perfect place for it to happen. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He's faithful. Let us consider one another. Catch this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. We are to provoke one another unto love and good works. In other words, we are to push each other on to love and to good works. We're not to provoke one another to anger. We're not to provoke one another in a mean or a nasty way. We are to provoke one another to push one another on to love and goodness. Now catch this. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. You don't seem ready. Are you ready? Not forsaking. What does forsaking mean? Going away from. Serving. Living for. Not forsaking the assembling, the gathering of ourselves together. How in the world is it that we can deceive ourselves to believe that this isn't important? I'm going to tell you right now, it is a deception from the pit of hell. At the very moment you think, I don't need this, you are already walking in deception. At the moment that the gathering of together of the saints becomes unimportant in our hearts or in our minds, we already are walking in deceit. And try to tell those who are in deceit that they're wrong. They won't believe it because they're already deceived. And the longer you walk in deception, the harder the heart becomes. And the harder it is to pull someone out of the seat of deception when they've walked or sat in it for so long because they don't recognize they're deceived. They're okay. And they'll say things like, but the God I serve. I said to my wife the other night, someone said recently in our presence, well, the God I serve, and I said, oh, they're right. They're right. The God they serve, but that ain't the God we serve. That's not the Jehovah Jireh that we serve. That is not Jehovah Nissi that we serve. That is not Jehovah Shalom that we serve. That is a new age form of godliness that says, hey, do whatever you want. You don't have to be holy. But God himself said, be ye holy as I am holy.
Oh, Pastor, where's the Christmas message? Why don't you have boxes and presents with bows on them and telling, you know, why can't we each get a candy cane? This is better because it'll set you free. That's what the birth was for, to set you free, to pull us out, to pull us out, to pull us out, to pull us out of deception and deceit so that we could walk in truth. My God, let us hold fast and not forsaking. All over the world today, houses are sitting empty and half empty and three quarters empty. Chairs. We paid good money for these chairs for somebody to sit in them. It's okay. I don't need that every week. I'm deceived. Oh, no, no, Pastor. I'm good with God. So we can discount the word of God and still be okay with God, is what we're saying then. I would declare to you that that's not truth. That is deception. That is the epitome of deception, to believe that we could forego the word of God. That we could forego the word. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Don't tell me that I'm deceived. You don't know my heart. We hear things. Don't tell me. I'm good with God. Where were you last night? Well, I don't remember everything I did. Why? Well, I got drunk and... Can I say something to you? If you got to do that, there's a hole in you. There's an emptiness in you. If you're trying to fill it with something else, there's something wrong. Well, if I just get this, I'll be happy. If I get that, I'll be happy. If I get the other, I know people think things that make them happen. The more things they get, the more miserable they are. It's true. And the more you got to maintain those things, and the more you got to work on those things, and... Well, if I just get this, if I just get that, if I just get this, if I just get that, hey, if I just get this, if I just get that, if I just get this, if I just get that, if I just get this, if I just get that, hey, we ought to write a song. If I just get this and I just get that, hey, if I just get this and I just get that, hey. That's no different than most of the songs you listen to on the radio today. If you listen to them, most of them are just so dumb, you don't even have to have a brain to listen to them. It's true. My Lord, I got the young folks applauding today. I got the young people with me today. And I didn't even have to wear ripped jeans. I didn't even have to go get drunk with them. My Lord, I'm crazy enough without smoking weed. I'd be a mess. I'd be crying and slobbering all over everybody if I did. But he's called us to be different. He ain't never called us to be relevant. We like being relevant, though, don't we? We like being. I like to be liked as much as anybody. But I've learned in my life, I got to please him. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. When I lay my head on the pillow at night, every day of my life, I live with, did I please him? See, gathering together in places like this is meant so that we can bring one another together, we can encourage one another, stir one another on. So when you feel like you're in that 400-year silent period, that we can say to you, but look what the Lord has done. So those who are in the period of look what the Lord has done can encourage those who are in the period of silence.
So that folks like Ron and Melinda can say, yeah, we sat in the hospital waiting room wondering what was going to happen, but he is faithful. So when you are in the emergency room, he is faithful. He is faithful. When you're going through that storm, he is faithful. When you're facing that hardship in your life, he is faithful. I'm telling you, my wife and I have been through some difficult things in our life. And most of you know our lives are an open book to everybody. We've been through some things in our home, in our family, the last couple of years that we would have never in our life ever thought that our family would face. Ever. I told you today I came here as your pastor, I'd be truthful with you. Hard things, Missy. Difficult things. How many of you have been through some hard things, some difficult things? But by God, he has been faithful. He has been faithful. He has lifted us up. He has encouraged us. He has strengthened us. He has poured into us. And out of those difficult, hard places in our life, we have become stronger. We have become more faithful. We have been more dedicated. Why? Because we have seen overwhelmingly the mighty hand of our God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if he delays, I'm just going to relax because I'm just going to wait on his promise because I know he's faithful. I can't go anywhere else. I can't doubt his love. I can't doubt his faithfulness. He has proven it over and over and over and over again. And if he says, not forsaking, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Catch this. And so the much more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what that means? Can I just put that in today's language to you? As we get closer to the return of the Lord, we should be doing this way more than we're doing it now. And if you think it's hard to get here now, oh, Jesus. I'm not talking to any of you because you're here, you know. If we can't find it easy to get to the house now, when it gets much worse and deception becomes much worse and deceit becomes much worse. You know, they're coming out with translations of Bibles today that are garbage. They're meaningless. They don't hold to the Word of God. They change words and meanings and translations because literally the goal is to make the Word user-friendly. Make it relative to our day. I know from where my help comes from. Ron, you know from whom your help comes from. James, you know from whom who else here knows from whom your help comes from? My help. I don't know about some of you, but I know my help. I don't know about all of you, but I know my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that gives me comfort to know if he created the heavens and the earth, he can comfort me. Amen. He can bring me through. He can strengthen me. So this is important. As a matter of fact, this is one of the most important things you will do in any period of time in your life. Throughout the week, this is the most important thing you will do. You don't get your kids here on a Wednesday night. Don't expect them to attend Sunday mornings when they get bigger. I'm just telling you what the statistics and surveys are telling us. Forsake not the assembling. Why? We're putting God first. We're putting God in our lives and in our hearts. We're putting the things of God at the forefront so that we're not deceived by every deception and misleading thing that comes our way. I got so much to say to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. How can we deceive ourselves and hear these things but yet not do them? Luke 6, verse 38. Give! Now that's enough to make everybody uncomfortable. It shouldn't be, because this is Christmas. And we should love to give, right? Because at Christmas, even people who are Grinches give something to someone, because we feel it's our penance for the year. Give and it shall be. 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 I believe that with everything that's in my life. Nothing will move me from that spot, Ethan. Nothing. I am there. I am planted. I am firm. Give and it shall be given. I won't move. I won't move. I can't move. Why? Because he who has called me is faithful. Amen? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Not stingy. Good measure. Press down. How many of you like if somebody gave you a whole big wash tub full of $100 bills? How many of you like somebody gave you a big wash tub of $100 bills and they pressed it down? I tell you, you get in your line. I'm waiting for the press down line. Huh? You go ahead and get in your line. I'm waiting for the press down line. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, getting all the air out, making more room for more. Pressed down, shaken together. That just make you wiggle a little bit. Get in that press down, shake now. Remind me of the folks who went to Torrance with us doing the hokey pokey the other night. They were shaking it down. Pressed down, shaken together. Catch this. Running over. Shall men give into your bosom. For with, catch this. Are you with me? Old stingy, are you with me? Old Grinch, are you with me? For with the same measure that you measure it out, it shall be measured back to you again. Oh, you get little, you must be given little. And I'm not just talking, don't be so deceived. I'm thinking about an offering. Because I just done told you we're not even taking up another one, another special offering. I'm talking about in your life, your actions, your words, your deeds, your lifestyle, whatever it is, your gift, your talent, your ability. You have a talent, you don't exercise that talent ain't coming back to you to expand. You play an instrument, you should be on this platform playing that instrument. And if you don't, I'm going to pray God takes the ability and the talent away from you. Which he won't, but in my flesh. Even if God gives you the ability to play drums and you play them like you do with a smile on your face, rejoicing and enjoying every moment of them. Being led by a young man in his 20s, faithful every week. Behind that set of drums. Be faithful with what God has given you. Be faithful with the breath in your lungs. I don't take for granted a minute the breath I have in my lungs. Do you? Do we live recklessly, carelessly, abandoned with any thought of what will happen? Give. Well, I don't have to give. Somebody else will give. I don't have to put my talent out there. Let somebody else do it. No, he's given it to you. And if you will not exercise it, then the body and the kingdom is lacking. See, God puts people in places like this. And if we don't take this serious and we don't come together, we all suffer for the lack of attention that any one of us would put to it. every Sunday morning that there is an empty seat, we suffer as a whole because we are not whole. If God has sent talent, if God has sent ability, if God has sent resources, whatever it may be, and those resources are dormant, we all suffer for it. That's why he said, don't stop doing this. Be holy. Get together with one another. Give. Well, if I give, I'll have less. No, did you not understand the word? Well, if I give, Chris, then I have less. Well, let's excuse your ignorance for a moment. And I mean that in the sense of unlearned. Because when we learn, get wisdom, and with wisdom, get understanding. That when we give, he will give back to us. No phenomenal person who plays an instrument has got where they got by not playing that instrument. It don't happen, Karen. You just don't pick it up and become, you know, I don't even know who a famous musician is, but you don't become them. You know, you don't become a polished singer if you don't exercise your vocal cords. Am I telling you the truth? You don't become a star mechanic if you say, I'm a mechanic. How many cars you worked on? None. Hey, bring your car over to me. Oh, you a mechanic? No. Well, do you work on cars? No. Well, you ain't getting my car. Well, I watch a YouTube video. Oh, great. The person on that YouTube video probably didn't know how to fix a car either. And the thing they didn't show you is they're spending $5,000 now to get it fixed. How many understand what I'm saying about it? Rob, you going to take that Ford Explorer and bring it to me and say, hey, Pastor, can you do something to it? You wouldn't dare do it, would you? No. Hey, come on, don't be so eager to say that. You wouldn't do it because you know. You know I'm not the guy to bring that to. You take it to a certified mechanic. You take it to somebody that knows what that car is all about. And that person has worked on cars. They've been trained on that. Danny, I wouldn't want somebody handling my finances that didn't know, understand finances. I wouldn't want somebody handling my finances that didn't know. Would you? Ethan, would you want somebody handling your finances that didn't know? Oh, no. Hey, congratulations, Ethan, Sierra. You know, how many of you knew they got engaged? How many of you know they're getting married? How many of you know they just bought a house? And how many of you know, no, they're not living together? Now you should applaud that. They're not living together. He said to me, when the house closes, Sierra's going to move in. And Ethan's going to stay on the leash. She gets to decorate it. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. Oh, we can just do whatever we want and expect God. No, you can't. No, you can't. Oh, my. When you give, it shall be given unto you. Wow, we're still in early yet. Mark chapter 11. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I feel a close coming. I don't know when, but I feel it coming. You know, if you just let me get more than one shot a week at you, I'd close earlier. I don't get you very often. I got to give you everything I got. Because you just may take your last breath, and I pray to God you get it right before you do. Oh, my. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, how many of you pray? Anybody? Well, there's about four or five of you. That's good. Thank God we're in a Pentecostal church this morning. We got five praying people. When you stand and pray, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. is sometimes I look at my wife and say, oh, no. Oh, no. Forgive. Don't raise your hand to this, but I pray the Holy Spirit hits you like a bolt of lightning right now. How many of you are carrying some unforgiveness? How many of you got something in there that you have not forgiven somebody of yet? When you pray, how do we think we can walk in the blessing of God when we disobey what God says? But yet we can be deceived and think, well, I can hate you. I can hate you. I cannot like you. That's cool. That's cool. It's all right. I saw a billboard the other day where somebody was sleeping in church and said, it's okay, it's cool. We're family. Hey, how about this one? We're not your grandparents' church. Well, what's that supposed to mean? We're not your parents' church anymore. Well, I ran to the altar and got saved in my parents' church. What is that supposed to mean? Oh, I know. The preacher don't get drunk and smoke weed with you. That's what it means. If we just want to call it what it is. You know why we dim the lights in some of our modern churches? So we don't have to see the dark. Oh, Jesus. And when we stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone. Catch this. When you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, hey, this is King James. This ain't fluffy puffy Bible. This ain't one of them new ones you can get at the dollar store. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Liv, you give forgiveness. Do you know what you get back? Forgiveness. Isn't that good? Why are y'all just looking at me like that? If you give forgiveness, Karen, we just said give and it will be given back to you, right? So if you give love, love will be given back to you. If you give mercy, you give grace. Wow, there's about 4 or 5 of you in here today that are really on. You give forgiveness, forgiveness will be given back to you. Isn't that good? That's good news. I got so much more to say to you. Isn't that good news? But I know we've expired our time today. I got so much more to say to you about this. Deceit. How can we believe for a moment that we can disregard forgiveness? We don't have to forgive. We don't have to give any of these things: mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, finances, talents. We don't have to put God first. We just live our life. Because hey, after all, God knows we're busy. That's one of my favorite ones. God knows we're busy. I had somebody say to me a few years ago, Melinda, oh, I don't pray. That's what we pay you for. I said, then you're in trouble because I ain't prayed for you for a while. pay me. Hey, for those of you who just woke up, welcome back. Glad you're with us this morning. I need to lose weight if I'm going to preach like this because I'm getting out of breath. I
Oh, I just opened a can of worms. Now Nate's going to be all over me at lunch. Be obedient. Turn from the old way. Live holy as God is holy. Love one another. Stir one another on to goodness and mercy and grace. Stir one another to faith. You know, the last person in the world you want to go to is you go to somebody and say, I just feel like shooting myself in the head. And they go, you know what, if I was you, I would too. Yeah, that's not good wisdom. No, you want to go to somebody and say, no, you don't want to do that. My word, but I can tell you there's been a part of time in my life where I probably thought the same thing. But you know what? He is faithful. He is. No, I personally never thought of shooting myself in the head. I mean, that just, I'm going to tell you, if you've thought about that, that's just crazy. You don't want to do that. Because he's faithful. That's the seed of the enemy saying, just get out. I just feel like giving up. Yep, that's deceit. Because those are all things contrary to the Spirit of God. Jesus came into this world that you might have life. He set you free from darkness so that you could walk in the marvelous light. And he is coming back again. He is coming back again. And I am working on a series of messages that I have not preached since I have been here. I am working on a series, and it will be a series of messages on the end times, on the book of Revelation. And I got some great news for you. I've got some great news for you through that. He who has called you is faithful to complete that which he has begun. You know, my favorite commercial on TV anymore is that commercial where that kid goes to his parents' bedroom and says he wrecked a car. That is the funniest commercial. That is absolutely one of the best commercials I've ever. He's just explaining to his parents, and you, this wonderful insurance to the mother 2 weeks without the car. Okay, thank you. And he goes back. 2 weeks without the car. Imagine if God pulled a 2 weeks on us. 2 weeks without my favor, 2 weeks without my love, 2 weeks without my overshadowing you, 2 weeks without my angels having charge over you, 2 weeks. Oh. Let me tell you something, I wouldn't want to go a second without the presence of God. Because let me just give you a real quick glimpse of something. Do you know at the moment of rapture, at the moment of the rapture, everyone who believes in the Father, everyone that believes on Jesus Christ, is gone. Do you have any idea the mass chaos that will hit this world in a second of time? Blink your eye, that quick. Everything changed so drastic. Planes falling out of the skies, cars wrecking. I mean, just crazy stuff. Husbands and wives waking up, and one's there, one's gone. Run to the kid's bedroom, and they're gone. I mean, can you imagine when the mass amount of people who exit this earth? I'm praying a lot about that, thinking a lot about that. I said to my wife, I think God has given me some real revelation about that. And I'm going to share it with you when I teach that message. I don't want to be left behind. How about you? I want to be faithful with salvation. I want to be faithful with salvation. That means I want to be faithful with what he's given me. And if he says live holy, then I want to do my best to live holy. And I know that word scares some of you. Let's just put it like it means being separate. It means you don't have to follow the crowd. It means you just don't do what everyone else does because you act like him. We need a whole lot more acting like him. How many of you would agree with me? We need a whole lot more acting like him. Worship team, will you join me back on the platform?
Hey, we don't have to worry about rushing home at 1 o'clock because the Steelers don't play to what, 8:30 tonight? Those of you that still watch football. In all honesty, though, I want you to be praying for that young man, that Steeler who got injured. Every believer should be praying for him. Not that he plays football, because football don't mean anything. You know, football don't mean anything. Football don't mean anything. My hometown school won the state championship on Thursday. And you know what that means today? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. And 6 months from now, most people aren't even going to remember it happened. But we need to pray for that young man who had his spinal cord damaged, and pray that God will heal his back and pray that he'll walk again and he'll be able to enjoy his family. And you know what I'm saying? We need to lift him up and pray for him this morning, that God will deliver him. I said to my wife, it's so far beyond football. I don't even care whether he ever plays a snap of football, Danny, but I just want to see him okay. And that's the way we should care about people. That's the way we should love people. Let's pray. Father, today in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do lift up this young man, Ryan Shazier. We pray, God, that you will move upon his physical body. Lord, that which has been torn, that which has been broken. God, we know that the surgical hands of the doctors have done their best. But when their best isn't good enough, the creator of the heavens and the earth, I know from where my help comes from. And Father, I cry out to you today on behalf of this young man. God, that he would find his strength and his comfort and his rest and his healing. That he would find his salvation in you. And God, that you would mend his broken body. That you would mend his broken spirit, his broken soul. And that you would speak life into him. I pray those who would speak life will just saturate his presence. Those who will be able to speak goodness into him. Those who will be able to speak words of life and truth into his life. Heal him, Lord. Deliver him and set him free. Lord, for each of us who are here, those who will listen by internet, Lord, I pray that we would not be deceived in thinking that we could outright, blatantly disobey, disregard, ignore what you say in your word. And I didn't get very far down my list today. Help us to see. Burn in our spirits today. Burn in our hearts. Burn in our minds today with your precious spirit, that we would realize and know and understand that we cannot blatantly disregard and reject your word and think that we're okay. Help us to see where we're deceived. Help us to see where we have believed the lie. And each one of these things that we saw this morning, Lord, put our feet on the pathway of running after those things. Running after righteousness. Running after godliness. Running after goodness. The psalmist said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I pray that this morning, Father, that as we sow, shall we reap. And I pray as we sow goodness and mercy, that all the days of our life, goodness and mercy shall follow us. We won't have to look for goodness, and we won't have to look for mercy, because it's all around us. Because what a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So help us to check us today. Check us in our spirits. Check us in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that we would not walk out of this place being deceived, to believe that we can disobey your word and be okay. Help us to come into alignment with your word. Heal us. Deliver us. And set us free. If you're here this morning and you want to step out of where you are into alignment with him, you want to get it right better than you've ever got it right before, you want to walk with him in ways that you've never walked in him before, you want to strive after righteousness for his name's sake, if that's you today, will you stand with us? Will you stand with us wherever you may be this morning? Don't stand out of guilt or shame or I mean, if you want to disregard God's word, just be bold about it. Just be bold about it. You want to follow God's word, then stand and be bold about it. It's just that simple. You told us in your word this one time, you said, choose this day in whom you will serve. I pray today will be a day as we celebrate in a few weeks, looking up to the celebration of your birth, we can celebrate no longer walking in deceit and deception, because you came to set us free. So Father, as each one that has stood to their feet today, I pray you challenge us. I pray you encourage us. I pray you strengthen us. And that, Lord, we will come alongside of each other, and we will stir and provoke one another unto goodness and good works, because that's the way that you've intended it to be. That we will be greater givers than we've ever been, greater servers, greater lovers, more committed than we've ever been before, because that's what you desire from us. I give you the breath in my lungs today, Father. I give you every ounce of praise I have today, because I declare and deem you worthy of it. I know where my help comes from. It comes from you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Strengthen these your people today. Strengthen them by the power of your might. And as we leave this place today, may we never be the same again. In Jesus' name.